All right, Ben, so now that I'm officially in the band and have found an instrument that I can pretend to play better than all the others, I guess we should actually play the fight song and kind of go through this thing, right?
Now,
what's this? Is this in case someone gets out of line? You can just,
got to keep them in place.
I like that, Ben.
This is actually our mace. This is what we spin it
for. Nice. Yeah. Very good. It's got pepper inside of it. So lead me, and then I'll lead all these guys.
All right, sounds like a plan.
Here we go.
Roll Tide!
Tide!
I'm here with Will Lockamy, who is one of the two hosts on the Iron Bowl Hour. And Will, I'm glad to be talking with you. I've actually been a fan of your show for a couple of years now. I've watched it on and off. I haven't seen every episode, but I've definitely watched it, and I've always been impressed with the production value and the energy and enthusiasm that you and your brother bring to the show. You guys are brothers, right?
That's correct. Yeah, he's my older brother, only by 4 years, even though he looks much, much older than that. He's just barely my older brother, but it's funny you say that about the production values. When they came to us, the idea they initially had was like, oh, okay, maybe that'll work. We'll see. And then really once we saw some of the stuff that they had been working on, of course, the crew is, for the most part, documentarians. And so they make these like amazing documentaries, including the Bear Bryant one that's out now, Mama Calls. But so that's what's convinced us to do it. And then the idea just kind of molded into what it is today.
Yeah, well, talk about how it got started. I mean, you talk about the initial idea that you had. And, you know, I imagine getting a TV show off the ground is difficult for anybody, even locally in a place like Tuscaloosa and with the Center for Public Television. Just talk about how, you know, when you had the idea, how it got started, and how it finally got on air.
Yeah, so it goes back to, I had been in radio like years and years and years ago. And I mean that like late 80s as a kid, basically. And our father had always been in radio, sports radio and stuff like that. So basically Reed and I, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, said, well, hey, let's get back into that. Let's start a sports show or maybe just a general interest show. And so the way we did that, based on some advice we'd gotten, was just started a podcast in his basement. And it was a 10-minute-a-day podcast. And we just, like, shot for the stars and invited nationally recognized guests on and stuff like that. And it just kind of took off. And we posted a lot of the episodes on YouTube and things like that. So then ended up actually getting a radio show. And shortly after we got the regular radio show, we were contacted by the Center for Public Television. They had found some of the podcast episodes where we had interviewed people like Paul Feinbaum and Eli Gold, you know, and so they had this idea of putting together an Alabama fan and an Auburn fan and having them kind of like, you know, fight it out each week or whatever. And it was going to be called Iron Brawl. And we didn't necessarily love that idea. One, we don't love to talk publicly about who we're fans of anyway. We think it kind of ruins the show. So we play just totally down the middle. So we thought, well, what if we just handle this more in like a Daily Show type of way and took that approach to it? So then we began test shooting from that point, and it was months and months and months, because while they knew we could talk to each other and, you know, help them get big name guests, they didn't know, and we didn't know how we'd look on TV or if we could even do that. So there was months of like fake episodes and, you know, going and covering these really cool events. And of course, none of that stuff will ever see the light of day. But then it kind of turned into what it is now, and it's still evolving. And we're finishing up the third season now. Yeah, an episode now, while it looks somewhat similar to the first season, there's definitely a lot of different components.
Yeah, so you're in your third season. So looking back at, you know, how this thing initially got going and got off the ground and finally made air, when you look at the three seasons that you've done so far, what do you see? Are you pretty proud of the product?
I'm super happy with it. I mean, if nothing else, I'm just giddy over the really amazing cool stuff we get to do. Not only like week in, week out, get to hang out with people that we're just huge fans of, because, you know, beyond just loving a school, Reed and I are just huge college football fans, and especially SEC fans. So the fact that we get to deal with the greatest of the great Auburn and Alabama football players and former coaches and stuff like that on a weekly basis and go to their homes and, you know, make fun of them and do just all kinds of crazy stuff that you would never, ever imagine you'd get to do. And like, you know, recently this year, I'm just trying to think, like, all right, I marched with a $1 million band. Like, how crazy is that? And at the time, like, it doesn't seem that crazy. But then when we kind of go back and look at it in retrospect, it's like, wait a minute, I just got to march with a $1 million band. Like, I can barely even play that instrument or whatever. And then, like, in Auburn, we got to go early in the morning and practice with the Eagle flying in the stadium. Like, just us and the Eagle folks. Like, it was, you know, that's kind of crazy stuff that people don't get to do. So we're really, really lucky in that sense. And really, anything we've suggested, like, hey, why don't we do this? We've been able to do it. Like, hey, why don't we go to Pat Dye's house and make fun of him for losing his pants in the river? I mean, and we get to do that. So, like, you know, it's amazing. Every time I look back, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. And people seem to like it. That's the other thing. It's kind of a fun show that football fans like, because we're actually talking about football and we're actually making fun of people. And so non-football fans love it because it's so tongue-in-cheek. They feel like they're kind of in on the joke at the same time.
You're getting to do it with your brother, too. I mean, does that kind of give you a jolt of energy and excitement about doing a project with somebody you're so close to anyway?
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of a weird thing. Like, if one of us killed over tomorrow, I don't know how this would proceed, because we're just kind of a team that has been forever. And we were actually just kind of friends growing up, and we never really had that sibling rivalry for the most part. I'm sure I drove him crazy as the younger brother, but we just always have really gotten along. The joke writing and all the concepts and all that stuff, and then just the promotion of the show and public relations and all that. We just seem to be a good team. So it works well with both our radio show, which is Oh Brother Radio on Birmingham Mountain Radio, and also the TV show.
Remind me where you guys went to school, college?
Yeah, so I attended Auburn, but not for long. I went down there to get my pilot's license, basically. I majored in aviation management, professional flight. So it was either going to Auburn, which is kind of a normal college for that kind of thing, and they've got one of the best flight schools in the nation. I mean, there's like 7 astronauts who come out of there. Or I was going to go to a private flight school in Florida. So a bunch of my friends are going to Auburn, so I went there. And then I played in the band, played drums. And so I got a record deal like towards the end of my first year. And so I up and left school and never set foot in the classroom again. And then my brother, he was very different from me. He was on the dean's list at Birmingham Southern. So graduated there, and now one of his other jobs is he is a language arts teacher.
And where did you guys grow up?
We grew up in the Bluff Park neighborhood of Hoover, and have actually, now that we are adults, have returned to that neighborhood. So we're both kind of up on the bluff there overlooking the valley.
Well, is that in your household growing up? I mean, is that where the fandom started, or at least the interest in the rivalry or college football in general? How did it get started for you? What was your first exposure to it?
Yeah, so our dad was in sports radio. For that, he worked for the Stallions, which was a professional football team that we had here. He worked for the Birmingham Bulls, the Birmingham North Stars, which were two hockey teams we had here. So he was pretty much always involved with sports. And through all that, and then through starting radio shows, he had a radio show with Eli Gold. So like Eli and his wife Claudette were some of our best friends kind of growing up. And funny enough, I'm looking out my window now at the house that Eli and Claudette had forever. So we like spent a lot of our childhood at that house. And then our dad in 1986, 87, I guess, contacted a squirmy little writer from the Birmingham Post-Herald named Paul Feinbaum and asked him, like, hey, do you want to start a show together? And so they started a show called Sports and Stuff. And, of course, weeks later, Paul became the star of the show. There was no question. So within a year or two, they moved that show over to WERC, and it was then named the Paul Feinbaum Radio Network. And, of course, we know the rest. I don't remember how long exactly my dad stayed there. Maybe 10 years, 12 years as Paul's sidekick. So basically our whole life growing up, we were exposed to it. Not only were we just like huge fans, loved to play sports and stuff like that, but we were actually exposed to a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. So that's where a lot of the connections come in as well.
Well, how has this, doing this, challenged your fandom? I mean, obviously you went to Auburn and you guys obviously lean one way or the other, but when you're doing a show like this, is it a thing where you learn so much about the rivalry and you delve so deeply into it, it works more as like, not homework necessarily, but obviously it's your job to some extent. I mean, have you grown to love it more? Have you become jaded by the rivalry at all? How does it work for you personally?
I love it more, I think. And it's a very weird thing because just since it's just the two of us here, Ben, and no one will ever listen to this. I mean, I'm a fan of the school that I went to. It's just the way it is. But there's something really weird about the TV show and the radio show where I can just flip that switch. And more than anything, I love having fun and I love those jobs. So listen, a lot of times, I mean, I'm accused of being a Alabama homer every day of my life because I make fun of Auburn like crazy. And I'm not going to shy away from a story. I mean, you know, we do these parody songs where if something is happening with one of the schools, we'll do, you know, an old country song or something and change the lyrics up and post a video. And I think we've done way more making fun of Auburn than Alabama. It's just, I'm never going to let my fandom change how the show goes. It's just no chance that's going to happen. So, and the fact that I get to go do these amazing things at the University of Alabama and at other SEC schools, you know, just raises my respect level across the board. It's an amazing sport, and we are all super lucky to kind of be involved in it. So it's funny. I mean, this is the first time I've talked about the school I went to and stuff like that publicly, just because I don't want people to think like, oh, it's going to jade this or that, because it doesn't at all. It's a weird thing coming in. And they were actually, you know, they knew that I'd gone to Auburn and stuff like that. So when they came in, they talked about that. Like, hey, look, we know this, but we also know that you have the ability, like we've heard you, you know, make fun of Auburn and have the ability to kind of play down the middle. And, you know, by the way, this is a huge crew that works on the show. I mean, there are a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are involved in the writing of the show and the jokes and stuff like that. And say there are 16 people, let's just take that number. Only two of the 16 would root for Auburn in a football game. So there has to be a balance somewhere, and I will say that I'm it, I guess.
Well, you mentioned the guests that you guys have. You've had a variety of them. I mean, you mentioned Paul Feinbaum, Pat Dye. You've had several former players, and those are always really fun segments. But one that really jumped out at me, I'm a longtime listener of Paul Feinbaum's show, and you guys filmed an interview with the people themselves, callers from the show, Tammy, who's made plenty of appearances in the past, and there have been articles written about her, and she's been fairly visible for one of the Feinbaum callers. But you guys tracked down Jim from Crestwood, who was one of my all-time favorite callers. I mean, just tell me how you did that, first of all, and what was that like?
Well, you know, funny thing, he apparently had listened to our radio show, and so he was already aware of us, and he was very well aware of our dad from when our father had been on Paul's show. So basically a mutual friend kind of set that up, like, hey, here's Jim's contact info, you should give him a call, he said he wants to be on the show. And funny enough, Jim and I went and had a drink together first, because I wasn't sure if we wanted Jim on the show. Tammy's a weird one in the sense of she can kind of play that game, she gets it. And I know Tammy from filming the TV show now. Gosh, I mean, oddly enough, I talk to Tammy almost every other day, probably. And it's just one of those weird things, like, Tammy's not what you hear on the radio, but I don't know Jim. And so we went and had a drink, and I said, hey, look, I'm not sure I want you to do this. Let's figure out if it's best for our show and best for Paul, because I've got a pretty close relationship with Paul, and the last thing I want to do is screw up something he's got going. And Jim is one of the best callers he's ever had. And so I didn't want to, like, expose Jim for being something that he's not on the radio, but turns out Jim is exactly what he is on the radio. I mean, it's just exactly him, but he's not quite as mean, maybe. Like, a good story about Jim is, as we were sitting there, he was on a patio, and the homeless guy comes walking up in an Auburn sweatshirt and kind of stops to start to ask for money. And I wasn't going to acknowledge him or turn around and get money because I'm in a meeting or whatever. And Jim totally stops and says, hey, man, come here. And gave him a couple of bucks and talked to him and was, like, super nice to him or whatever. And I was like, oh, what a bizarre moment. I'm sitting here having drinks with Jim from Crestwood, and he's giving a homeless guy in an Auburn sweatshirt money. Like, it was really bizarre. So a part of me really likes Jim a lot. We got along, and it was very interesting to talk to him about Paul and about why he hates Paul so much. And that's a true anger. That's not made up. He actually dislikes Paul and has reasons. He has his own reasons that I think even Paul would admit. And so, you know, from that, but oddly enough, while now Tammy and I still talk and I see her grandchildren a lot and stuff like that, I haven't talked to Jim again. But that's just because I think Jim's kind of an introvert, so.
Well, you can see that and many of your other videos and episodes on YouTube. I'd encourage people to go take a look at them. I was watching the Million Dollar Band segment that you mentioned earlier today, and it's fantastic. I mean, you guys just, you take different angles when it comes to sort of looking at this rivalry. You know, you don't look at it as broadly as a lot of people do. It seems like there's so much more to it, and there's so much fun to be had within the rivalry, and I think it's great. I think your show is really entertaining, and I know that this week it features former Auburn player Rob Pate is your guest. You're going to have a segment called the Twitter Test Challenge featuring Auburn blogger Blake Ells, who's actually an AL.com contributor, and then you've got Alabama blogger Rick Mussels. What did you think of those guys?
Well, they're goofballs. I mean, I kind of met them before that, and I knew, I was like, oh, these guys will be good at this. And it's, you know, typical of our show, we have them who actually do play a role now as far as, like, media goes. Twitter is a big deal. Bloggers are a big deal. Blake is a little bit more serious, I guess, than Rick is, proof by that Rick's name is not Rick at all. And so we did is we're going to have them on and make them do a series of challenges to see who's the better tweeter or Twitterer or whatever you want to say. So we, like, one, made them run an obstacle course while reading Twitter and keeping up with a timeline. And then we made them do a Twitter speed challenge where they have to, you know, it's like a how fast can you type on an iPhone. There's actually an app for that, of course. And then also we would give them headlines, like a negative headline about Auburn, and Blake would have to spin it and make it sound positive. Whoever could do that fast. So that's that kind of fun stuff we do with the show. It's all super goofy. And then, of course, Rob Pate, he's, you know, right now well-known for the video of him going completely berserk when Auburn made the catch against Georgia there at the end of that game. So perfect timing having him on, and should be a good show this week. I mean, obviously, biggest one of the year.
Yeah, so biggest game of the year, too, and arguably the biggest Iron Bowl. I'd imagine you're going to be at the game, correct?
I will, yeah. I'll be down there to check it out and have my kids with me and take it easy, not work much that day, but just kind of sit back and enjoy what could be a good game. I have no idea. It's definitely set up to be the biggest hyped game ever, without question. Now, we'll definitely have to wait and see if it's a good game or not.
You know, you sound either cautiously optimistic or not very optimistic at all as an Auburn fan. Tell me what you think about the game.
It's hard to tell. I mean, here's the thing. I do think it's funny when people are saying, well, look, Alabama can stop the run, so there's nothing to worry about because Auburn can't throw it. And I'm not sure that that's actually true. I think that Auburn hasn't thrown it. And actually, when you look at Nick Marshall's passing yards, they're pretty good. So it's that kind of thing. I think Auburn's going to spread it out and throw it a little bit more this time. And also, Alabama is just the best team in the nation. There's no denying that. They're that good. So it's going to take Auburn playing a perfect game. It's going to take Alabama messing up some for Auburn to pull out a win. But, you know, I said this before Auburn played Texas A&M. What they have to do is stop Texas A&M 3 or 4 times. They just have to stop them a few times, and then Texas A&M won't be able to stop Auburn. Now, I don't think that's the case in this game. I think Alabama can stop them, but, you know, maybe not every time. So it's going to be interesting to see. I can't wait for it to get here and then be over with.
Absolutely. Will Lockamy, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Cool. Thanks, man.